very, very important practical methods to advance further in our awakening. Are you here? Okay. We suffer many casualties because yesterday were many more people. So, what is a practical Gita? Gita. Gita. I'm talking to you. Come back. Pay attention, because I'm surprised and I'm happy that you are recording all this. Yesterday in the afternoon I said many things, concrete, practical, that I think most of you have forgotten completely. So I'm happy that all this is recorded so you can hear it again, so I can torture you again with many recommendations. But please pay attention to this, because some may seem very simple, but they are very, very useful. Do you remember that our life is what we experience moment by moment? There is not a spiritual life and a worldly life. Life is the present we live every second, right? So it's up to us that we have decided, we have been brought here by Swami for one reason. This long weekend, this beautiful weather, you are not in any resort, but you decided to come here because your souls decided for you. Your souls brought you here because your soul knew or knows that this is much more important than being on a beach or somewhere else for your better good. And I have been sharing with you some of the practical recommendations that Swami gave us how to move forward. I have just mentioned to the youth about this need to spend the day with God, remember God all the time, about waking up and giving a kiss to God. But I will add something more now that seems to be very simple, but is extremely, extremely important. When you wake up, perhaps when you go to the bathroom to wash your teeth or any moment tranquil at the morning, just get a mirror. A mirror is a very important tool for a spiritual aspirant. And look at your face. And spend a couple of minutes looking at yourself and asking, who am I? Don't answer, please, I am God, I am Atma, I am soul, I am this body, I am this or that. There is no need for a verbal answer or mental answer. What is needed is a very deep, deep, profound question. Who am I? Who is it that is looking at this image in the mirror? You keep 2 or 3 minutes going deeper and deeper into that question. Is it clear? Who am I is not just a question that you have to repeat mechanically like a parrot. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? No. It is a question. It's trying to grasp something. But who am I that is here looking at this image? And then go to the second stage. Well, I am here. That means I am alive. And think for a couple of minutes of this incredible thing of being alive, of existing. You have to spend a couple of minutes on the fact that you exist. And think, I exist. I exist. So you go from, who am I? Looking at your face, saying, who am I? Who am I? And then, I don't know who am I, but I know that I exist. And go deep into this feeling of existing, of being alive, but existing. I do exist. And then, after a couple of minutes, you go to the third stage, and you say, okay, not only I exist, but I realize that I'm able to be aware that I exist. I am aware that I exist. I have the consciousness of existing. And think about that incredible possibility that you are existing. A rock exists, but the rock is not aware that it exists. Right? Yes? I am speaking worse English than yesterday. Not yet. Okay. So, the first step, take a mirror, look at yourselves and think, who am I? Deeper and deeper, who is looking through these eyes? Who is the one that is inside these eyes looking this image? Then, the second step, I exist. I do exist. I could not exist. I could be non-existent, but I exist. The third stage, I am able to be aware that I exist. In each one of these stages, you have to spend a couple of minutes to go deeper. You know, it should not be something mechanical. It should be really trying to go and get something that is, you know, when you have something in the tip of your tongue and you want to know it, but you can't say it. That is a feeling. And then the last stage. I exist. I am aware that I exist. And what do I really want? What do I want? And you will say, I want to be happy. Unless you are suffering from a mentally chronic disease called, you know, it doesn't matter the name of it. You want to be happy. And this feeling of wanting to be happy is the essence also of your being. If you do this exercise, what are you doing? I exist. Sat. I am aware that I exist. Chit. I want to be happy. Bliss. Ananda. Swami said, what is God? Sat, Chit, Ananda. When you do this exercise, you are tuning yourself in the dimension of God. It's like we are out of tune. And through this simple exercise, we are tuning in the right vibration. So we live in this world, but instead of living in this world in the wrong vibration, we tune in the right vibration. And this will set the tune for the rest of the day. Okay? And this is one of the most potent detergents to clean the window of your mind and souls and hearts that will let you one day realize the reality. As I said to the youth just now, for all of us, the perception of reality, the moment of awakening, is very, very close. I mentioned this sentence in English, a frame of mind away. You know, in the movies, a frame is very close to the other. We don't see the frames, we see an image. But an image is a sequence of frames, right? Imagine that the frame of our realization is just one frame away, so close. Remind them about the number 23. Where is Narendra? The number 23, I want to. So my point is this. We need to tune ourselves from morning in this right symphony. Before I forget, what is dying, what is to be born? I said to the youth just now that every night we go to sleep, and when we sleep, we lose consciousness of the body and we wake up in the astral plane. Till the moment we have to wake up in the morning and we came back to the consciousness of the physical body, right? What is the difference between dying and waking up in the morning? There is only one difference. The difference is that when you die, you don't wake up in the morning. That's it. When you die, or when you go to sleep, your body remains on the table and your consciousness awakes in the astral plane and remains there for certain hours. Let's speak about dying. Your body remains on the table. You wake up in the astral plane according to the level of your spiritual evolution. You wake up, all of you will wake up in Vaikuntha. And there you experience life. Here in this planet you will live 90 years or 95, some 100. But there you may live 300 years, 200 years, 80 years, according to the time that was assigned for you. And you will go through different levels in the astral plane till one day you die there. Your astral body remains dead in the astral plane. And you wake up in the mental plane. And in the mental plane you have a mental body. And you experience a lot of things a certain period of time till it's time for you to die. And you die there. And the mental body remains dying at that level. And you wake up in what let's call the casual plane. And there you remain till the time for your reborn. You carry with you, let's say, to put an analogy, one atom of your mind. And when the time to be reborn comes, from the casual plane, a mental body is formed. When the mental body is formed, then an astral body is formed. When the astral body is formed, you go into the food that the Father will eat. This goes into the food of the Father eats it, goes into the blood, seminal system, seminal fluid goes into the mother and keeps entering and going from the mother for several months till it remains there and then develops the physical body more and is born. That is how we die and how we are born. And this is a process that happens to us and has happened to us thousands of times. It's just the moment you die, it doesn't matter how it was, if it was an accident or sleeping calmly at bed, the exact moment of dying is the same. It doesn't matter the factual situation that put you to death. It's just like falling asleep in the night and waking up in the astral plane. So there is no difference. There is no situation that differs from what we experience every night. Okay? I don't know why I went into this, but doesn't matter. The point is, don't be afraid of death. You have gone through this many, many more times. The important thing that you have to be afraid is not to be born again. Because if we are born again, we are going to go through many trials. And if we are born again, that means that this time we didn't press the accelerator at the full speed. So, do it now. I want to share, before going to the next practical thing, which I... Wait. Excuse me. I still didn't see any contract here. That means that you don't pay any attention to my recommendations. We spoke about the fact that everything is a combination of awareness and willpower. Do you remember? Do you? I said it only 10 times. Awareness and willpower. All is a combination of these two. Awareness. You read something about Swami, teaching from Swami, you are aware what you have to do. But then we lack the willpower to implement it. So the real question is how to develop this willpower. Swami has given us the prescription, which is also, as all what Swami has said, very, very easy. The willpower, as the battery of the mind, as the mind, is a battery that we carry with us life after life. It's not something new. The willpower you have now is what you have developed in your past lives. So some people have a strong willpower. That's why, because they have worked on this in their past lives. Some have very small willpower. I mentioned to the youth that when I started in the other organization, Raja Yoga organization, they gave me a lesson, a type of meditation that I had to practice for 90 days without interruption. If one day I didn't do it, I had to start it all over. It took me 2 years to finish 90 days. And I really wanted to get the second lesson. Why I couldn't? Because I didn't have enough willpower. So Swami taught us how to develop it. In a very simple way, he says that every time we suppress an action that from the spiritual point of view is not good, the energy that we were going to spend in that action becomes part of our willpower forever. That means I desire to smoke a cigarette. Even if it is not like this, it's inhaling and exhaling. It's energy. Energy when I inhale, energy when I exhale. But for something wrong. But then I say, Swami says I should not smoke, so I don't turn on the cigarette. That energy that was supposed to be burned, smoking a cigarette, becomes forever part of my willpower, of my battery of willpower, forever till we wake up and get self-realization. So each time that we consciously don't do some action or even thoughts or feelings that from the point of view are wrong, we'll have more power, more willpower. So it's a matter of consciousness. It's a matter of being aware what should we do and what should we avoid. And in that way, we develop more and more and more willpower each time. Before I forget the number 23, one day I represent many American film companies and I come to the United States once a year or twice a year. There is a conference that those companies held for their agents all over the world, like Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, Marvel Comics. They summon their agents to present to them the new properties, the new characters, the new movies. So it was many years ago, this was the Toy Fair in New York, when these companies took the opportunity to present the new toys that were being developed with their characters. Are you following me? All of you? Gita, are you? Okay. So during 1 week, at that time I represented like 25 different companies. At that time, I didn't develop the city of bi-location. Now, still not. And I had to be in one meeting in the morning in one part of the city. For example, one day I had to be in, if you know New York, is 5th Avenue and 23rd Street, downtown, from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. p.m. And at the same time, at 10 a.m., I had another meeting with Marvel Comics in Madison at 57. Uptown. It was February. Snowing, impossible to get a taxi. And also, I had to be both meetings. They were not individual meetings, were group meetings. So I went to the first meeting, and then 20 minutes to 10, I said, I will squeeze out of this meeting, go for a while to the other, and then come back. Is it English? Okay, so I raised from the meeting like if I were going to the bathroom, and I went out of the room and I had my briefcase with me. As I was coming back, I decided I didn't want to carry it with me, so I went into the second room and I left it there. No one was going to steal it, so I left it there. I went to the second meeting and I took the subway. By the time I reached the second meeting, it had already started and they were showing a film. And there is a standard when they show a new film, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and the image. Okay? This is a standard in the film industry. But this time they started with the number 23. That is Swami's number. It is completely unusual. No, it's okay, because if I drink water, I will cough more. Thank you. You know, when 23 to 0, the people will become hypnotized or sleeping. Right? It's an eternity. But when I saw the number 23, I thought about Swami. But then, as I was just arriving at the meeting, Did I explain? I arrived at the meeting and they were showing a film with, and the film started with the number 23. When I saw that, I thought about him and then I paid attention and I raised my hand several times so they knew that I was there. Any question? Hey, I have a question. 10 minutes later, I have another question. 2 minutes later, I have another question. Then I decided to go to the bathroom again. That means to get out of this meeting and going back to the first meeting. When I took the subway, the second strange thing happened. I found a seat on the subway. Usually in New York, at that time of the year, they are very crowded. And I looked at the seat, I sat down, and when I sat down, I had an incredible experience. I was all the time with my eyes wide open, but I stopped seeing reality. You know, I stopped seeing the external world, and I start seeing scenes of my life, one after the other. You know, they say when you are going to die, you see scenes of your life. This is what I have seen. But let me tell you, what I have seen were things that from the spiritual point of view, I didn't do properly. Do you understand? Only those things that I didn't choose the right decision from the spiritual point of view, one after the other. Till someone did this, no one physically did this, but I came back to reality when the subway was stopping at the station I had to get off. I came back, I saw the name of the station, and I knew I had to get off there, so I stood up, get off the train, and I was standing on the platform in a state of shock saying, what happened to me? What was all this? And when I recovered a little, I started to walk back to the building I had to go. And while walking back, I started bargaining with Swami. I said, Swami, it was you who gave me this experience. And the things I saw in these images that appeared before my eyes were things that were not easy for me to do. So I said to him, okay, if it was you, give me another proof and I will look my mad monkey mind. I said, I will try to change. And then as I remembered the number 23, I said to him, okay, show me again the number 23 in a special way and I will believe that it was you and I will try to change. By that time, I arrived at the building. I went up and before going into the general meeting, I went to look for my briefcase. And when I took my briefcase, I got hold of it and raised it and I saw attached to the side of the briefcase a paper with the number 23. This is Swami in New York. Another time, as I mentioned to the youth this morning and to the SSC this morning and to the youth right now, before going into the Swami's fold, I was very interested in the UFOs, in life in another planets. So I always wanted to ask Swami about it. But you know, with Swami, when you want to ask something, Swami asks you, what do you want? And you say, I'm fine, Swami. And then you go out and said, why didn't I ask him this? Because you speak what Swami wants, not what you want. So in that moment, I was in an interview with Swami. An interview was over. Swami stood up and got hold of this bag where he had the vibhuti, to distribute vibhuti. And I don't know why, till today, I kneel like that. And I said, Swami, Swami. Swami stopped and came to me, so I need you, come. Yes, please, come here. He will become Leonardo. And I will become Swami. You are Leonardo. Pray to me.
Harder? No, Swami, Swami. Swami,
Swami. I am Swami, full of mercy and love. And I said, yes. He bent like this, got hold of my shoulder and pressed it.
Really painful, painful. I think you have to let it go.
He pressed my shoulder very, very, very tight, harder than this. And he looked at me from this distance and said, yes. And I started to, don't go. Hey. He wants to be him, and he wants me to become Leonardo again. And I want to be Swami, so stay there. So he looked at me and I started to speak. And while I was speaking, I was amazed at myself. Because I said, Swami, there is a movie, The Order of the Divinity, where Kasturi says, as if he is you, that there is no life other than that on planet Earth. Nothing like this. I explained all this to Swami, and Swami patiently was getting hold of my shoulder very tight and looking straight into my eyes. And then he said, no, no, it's not like that. There is life all over the universe. And he started to speak. But suddenly, his eyes were so close to mine, so bright, that I went into his eyes. This experience was incredible because I was like going into his eyes. And when I entered his eyes, I lost all consciousness. Like I went into another... Where are you going? He wants to escape. Some is pressing your shoulder. Stay here. So I was lost. And then I came back and I started listening to his words and feel his hand and see his eyes. And then again, back again into his eyes. So most of what he said, I had no idea. But I do remember that he said, there's no one atom in the universe without life. Even in the sun are forms of life that you cannot understand. And in one moment I thought, how lucky I am that he's pressing my shoulder so much. In that moment, that was the only moment where he took his eyes from my eyes, looked at his hand, and then back to my eyes, letting me know that he knew all what I was thinking while he was talking. Now you can go back. Thank you. So, another time, and then I will go back to the practical methods, but another time, I'm rushing because when I start, the 2 minutes sign come. Did I share here the story of my nose? Did I tell? Well, my nose was like the one of Brad Pitt before. No. You know who is Brad Pitt, right? This actor. Well, one day I had a ticket to go to India. I bought the ticket. 3 days later was my departure. But that day I got an accident and my nose was fractured. I was taken to a clinic. They made x-rays and I had a fracture in this bone. The doctor said that I didn't need surgery because the bone was aligned and it would take like 40-45 days to heal. And that lady doctor gave me 2 cottons, I don't know in English, to put inside my nose during the night so if I move, the nose will not get out of alignment. It's okay, Gita? More or less? Gita is falling asleep. We are having casualties here also because having this meeting after lunch is too much. That's why I prefer to share stories. So the pain was so unbearable, I couldn't touch my nose and I couldn't move my face like this. If someone talked to me, I would do this. You know, because moving my face like this caused me pain. And I said, what am I going to do with my trip to India? And then I had a bright idea. I said, it's better to suffer there than here. I already have the ticket, so I decided to go. I left for India. It seems that my karma was too heavy because the broken bone was not enough. On the plane to India, I got a cold. Do you imagine? I couldn't touch my nose like this, but in one moment I had to blow my nose. Believe me one thing, and this is true, it's not a joke. Have you seen the comics when the person is with pain and he sees stars over their head? I have seen it. I saw the stars over my head. Whenever I had to blow my nose, I was crying and I was thinking, who I was in my last life? What did I do? Now it was a self-torture I was going every time I had to do this. I didn't have any sign here in my eyes. Sometimes it becomes dark, no signs. I reached the ashram. I didn't tell anyone about what happened to me. I went directly to the ashram. Swami came out, came to me, looked at me, and he said, go, interview. First darshan interview. Always I tried to sit as close as Swami as possible, so I sat by his side. Swami was talking. I didn't tell him anything, nor to anyone else. Swami was talking, and suddenly I saw him looking at me with the edge of his eye, you know, like this, and a small smile in his face. And then he continued speaking, and he was talking, and suddenly he did, tuk, and got hold of my nose. Was so fast that I didn't have time either to go back or to scream. And he got hold of my nose so tight, he had an incredible strength in his fingers, and he did it like this. For 15 or 20 seconds, he was shaking my head with such a violence, not only I didn't feel anything, before I couldn't touch, I didn't feel anything at all. The only thing I was thinking is, he will get my nose out of my face. And then after 15 seconds or 20, that is an eternity, he released me and continued speaking with everybody as if nothing happened. I remember when he released me, I still had my face, my head like this. And when I was able to get quiet, I realized that my nose was completely healed and the cold completely gone. This is Swamiji. Another time, well, I have so many. Do you mind if I continue with experiences? When I went to India the first time, I went with my jeans, long hair. I heard about Swami. I had this dream that I told you the other day. Do you remember the dream, right? You are incredible. Because I haven't seen any other person than myself that can forget so fast what is being told to them. It's great because I could come next year and tell you the same stories again and you will enjoy them as the first time. Actually, it's my third trip. I think I have told you already twice these stories. But this is great. So, I went to India. I went to see the spiritual master of the other spiritual organization. Instead, in that organization, to receive all the teachings would take years. Imagine 90 days for the first lesson. That took me 2 years. Imagine the time. But that spiritual master went to Argentina. I got a good relation with him. He invited me to his house in India. He said, you come to my house, stay with me 1 month. I will give you all the lessons together. So I went there. But after 3 days, I felt I cannot stay 1 day longer. I have to see Sai Baba. I say, I understand, go. That moment when I decided to leave him and go to Swami, miracles started to happen to me, one after the other. Incredible miracles, incredible, one after the other, that really, if I tell you now, will need 3 or 4 hours at least. I went to the ashram. The first darshan, we were waiting for Swami in Madras. No one knew when he was coming. We were 50,000 people at least. And suddenly, my heart had started to beat very rapidly. I thought I had some heart problem. And at that moment, the Swami's car came. From that day onwards, I always knew when Swami was going to come to darshan before, because my heart first started to beat very intensely. If my heart started to beat, I knew Swami was coming out. I always say that my heart recognized him much earlier than my mind. So that first darshan, Swami came, and I was sitting on the first row on the side. Swami raised a flag and a lot of petals of flowers fell on us. And I looked at him, and the first desire I had was to have an interview. But in English, I said to him, Swami, I want to see you. And Swami looked at me, and without opening his mouth, I heard his voice on my head in English saying, but you are seeing me now. I had 2 telepathic experiences with Swami. That was the first. It's like resounding over your head, his voice, very, very loud, very clear. But you are seeing me now. And I replied, I was surprised of this. I said, no, an interview. And he smiled and left. And I was with him for 30 or 35, 40 days more. One day, I was in my room, and I had every day, Swami would give me vibhuti, or sign a photograph, or sign a book for me, or take me the photograph. Or take me a letter. Every day. I was not aware of how fortunate I was. Some people started to touch my feet. I said, what is happening here? Because I thought it was normal. But I was so overwhelmed with love, so overwhelmed that I was in another dimension. So one night I went to the room. I was vice president of the other Raja Yoga organization. And I wrote in a piece of paper my resignation to that position because I wrote, I have found God and I want to surrender completely to him. The next morning I went to Darshan, and Swami usually comes for Darshan first to the lady side and then to the gents. But this day he came out from the mandir and came straight to me, stood in front of me, looked at me, and he said, "Yes, I will see you today. This afternoon I will see you." I have said yes to him the night before. In the morning he came directly to me and said that, and then he gave Darshan. When Darshan was over, I thought I could go to the interview room and wait there till the afternoon. And one seva stopped me and said, "No, it's not like that. He has to call you again." So I couldn't argue with him and left, but really I was like Arjuna in the state of despondency. I thought Swami will not remember. Even if he remembers, he will not find me. I thought I had lost my opportunity because this seva didn't like my face. Afternoon came. I was in a third or fourth row that at that time was very in the back, and I was feeling that Swami will not remember, Swami will not find me. Swami came out from the room and from the veranda without looking for me. He just raised his head, looked directly at me, and he said, "You!" And, you know, at that time there was no music. I stood up and went to him like trembling. "Yes, yes," he said, "go, interview." Well, he gave Darshan the interview. In the interview, suddenly he looked at me. He got close to me and he said to me all what I have thought since the morning, that he was not going to look for me, find me. He was not going to remember. Every word I had thought, he repeated to me. And then he got closer to my ear. I almost whispered in my ear this that I will never forget, and you should not. He said, "I will never disappoint my devotees." And this promise of Swami is a promise for all of us. He will never disappoint us. He will never falter the appointment with us. It is us who has not to disappoint him. A couple of days later, and all this is the preamble for the story, I left India back to Argentina. It was March 1982. I have spent all my savings. I had no more money. At that time, I was making, as I said to some of you, $100 per month. That was my income. But I left the ashram and I said to the people there, I asked Swami, "Swami, I want to come back. I want to come back." And I prayed to him to come back in September. Materially, for me, it was impossible to raise money to buy a ticket from March to September when I was making $100 per month and I have to leave. But I asked him with such intensity that I said goodbye to the people I met. "Don't miss me, because in September I will be back." Well, I came back to Argentina. And at that time, I had started through another miracle, the company where I am now. It was just starting, and a producer came that wanted to make a children's play, a live show for children with the characters of Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk, or all these Marvel characters. But he wanted to make the play in Ecuador. Are you following me? How many are sleeping? No one? Promise, you are sleeping? A little bit? Okay. Come back. Do you want water? Okay. Well, listen. The play was in Ecuador. Okay? I went, as I have to give them the customs, the original customs of these characters that were very expensive, I made a deal with them that other than the contract, they have to pay my ticket to go to with them, because I have to return back to Argentina with those customs. So part of the agreement was that they gave me a ticket for 30 days to be with them and pay all the expenses of this trip. And I went with them. The day 29, the tour ended. The next day was my ticket back to Argentina. But the day 29, I realized that no one knew about Swami in Ecuador. So I felt that I had to speak about Swami. But my next day was my return to Argentina. So I went to Argentinian Airlines office, to the airline's office, and asked them if I could return on the next trip 4 days later. The employee said, "No way, your ticket is for 30 days, it's expiring tomorrow." We start an argument, and after 30-40 minutes, I said to her, "Lady, I want to stay. How can I stay?" In a very strong tone. And she replied even stronger, "Open your ticket to 1 year and stay how long you want." And I said, "How much?" She said, $100. It became like that. And I said, "Why did you start like that?" So I gave her $100. left the office and said, what I'm going to do? I was in Guayaquil, a city of Ecuador, and I realized that I couldn't go to a park, stand on a bench, and start speaking about Swami. Right? I said, how am I going to speak about him? And then I remember that an Argentinian moved from Buenos Aires to Quito, and he was in that other spiritual organization with me, and I was able to get his phone. So I called him from Guayaquil to Quito, explained to him everything. He said to me something very smart. He said, come to Quito. You will expand 100% your chances because we will be too trying. So I said, I took a plane, went to Quito, and on Monday I had the desire to speak about Swami. My trip back to Argentina was on Tuesday. Okay? On Friday, I was given a talk in a hall filled with people about Sai Baba. This hall was run by a Catholic priest who had a Hatha Yoga organization and let me speak about Swami in a hall filled of people. When I finished my talk, this priest came to me and said, sir, it is so interesting. I publish a magazine on a monthly basis. If you write an article about Sai Baba, we'll publish it there. I distribute it all over Ecuador. And if you have a photograph of Sai Baba, I will put it on the cover. My whole intention was to speak about Sai Baba in a country where no one knew about him. Not only I have spoken in a whole field of people, but then this magazine. I was touching heaven with my hands. My ticket to Argentina was for next Tuesday. Friday I gave the talk. Saturday this friend invited me to a concert. I went with him. When the concert was over, we were going back, and he found a person who also attended the concert who was an industrialist for whom he was preparing an advertising campaign. And they started to speak. Quito is a beautiful city. It's like spring all year long, but in the night it becomes very cold. And it was almost midnight, and I start shivering. And that person said to my friend, listen, your friend will get a cold. Let's stop this. I invite you to have dinner tomorrow in my house and we'll continue the discussion. And he looked at me and invited me also. When he left, I didn't want to go, but he said, listen, first, you have nothing to do. Second, it's impolite. He invited you, just for me, do it, come. And for him, I went to this meeting. We had lunch, and now I will ask you a question. What was my subject during the lunch? Very good indeed. Yes, I spoke about Swami. That person was a very rich person, a very mundane person, lover of opera, lover of the pleasures of the world, former ambassador of Ecuador to Israel. You know, nothing to do with the spiritual world. But for 10 minutes, he listened to me speaking about Swami. And at that time, I started to speak about Swami. I couldn't stop. When I stopped, he looked at me and he said, sir, what do you have to do tomorrow? Tomorrow was Monday. On Tuesday, I was leaving back to Argentina. I said, nothing. He said, okay, at 10 a.m., I meet you at this address. I will buy two tickets. We'll go together to India. Will you come with me? I said, yes, of course. He gave me the address. And next day, I thought it was all a joke. But suddenly, I thought, if it is not a joke, just in case, I will go. I took a taxi, went to the address. It was a travel agency. He showed up. He bought two tickets. September the 2nd, I was in the ashram in Whitefield. Buenos Aires, Ecuador, Ecuador, India, all free. And when Swami came out for darshan in Whitefield from his house, it was my second telepathic experience. I heard his voice in English over my head saying, you wanted to be here in September, here you are. Why this person did that? Because he had a cancer in his palate. He had surgery in the United States. There was no solution. He thought he was going to die very soon. He heard me talking about Swami and all, how he heals all diseases. He had nothing to lose. He was very fat. You know, Swami says, start the day with God, spend the day with God, end the day with God. He started complaining, spend the day complaining, end the day complaining. When we went to darshan, we had to stay in Whitefield a couple of kilometers from the ashram in a place where to get water, we had to get water from a well. We had to put some some water behind the bed so the ants will not go inside the bed. It was very austere. Imagine for this gentleman. He couldn't be seated more than 2 minutes, complaining all day long. But one day, I don't remember if Thursday or Sunday, do you remember that there they sang bhajans all day? Swami came in the morning, starts bhajan, then they leave, they continue bhajan till the afternoon. Do you know? At that time, it was like that. So that everybody left, some remained there singing bhajans. But that day, this gentleman, who was not able to be seated quietly for 5 minutes, decided to stay. I left. When I came back in the afternoon, I sat by his side, and he was crying like a baby, you know, crying and crying. I said, Teodoro, what is happening to you? And he told me, Swami just was in front of me, asked me to open my mouth, put his hand in my mouth, took something out, and said, your cancer is canceled. And he couldn't stop crying. A couple of days later, went to Whitefield and back to Ecuador. We didn't have an interview, but he was completely cured. He went to the United States to the most important clinics. The cancer was completely gone. He published his experience in a magazine, 10,000 copies, and distributed freely all over Ecuador with photographs of Swami and his experience in the ashram. All this started because I wanted to share about Swami in Ecuador, and Swami made everything happen. This public meeting with the priest in Quito, this trip of this person who, of course, 20 years later came to Buenos Aires to sing the Om in the Sai Center. He became a Sai devotee, his whole family became Sai devotees, and now we have 2 Satya Sai schools in Ecuador. This is the doer. Another experience. Now that I have you here, you cannot escape. You can escape, but don't do it. I will tell you, first, before the experience, I want to share with you again one important thing, because if not, you will ask me to go, and I want to reiterate something that I have mentioned the first day, and I have spoken this morning, this moment ago with the youth. All the time, I wanted to know what is the truth. What happens after death? What is the truth about all this? When I found Swami, all what I have read in all the books became real, became clear to me. And Swami gave the most perfect, deep, profound, and complete explanation about reality. And as I said to the youth, and I will repeat it again, the explanation of reality has different levels, according to our level of understanding. If we are in the primary school, we cannot understand trigonometrics. You know, according to our level of intellectual growth, we can assimilate one explanation. And I gave the example of the description of what you see in a mountain. If we are at the bottom of the mountain, you give a description that is true at that level. But if you climb the mountain and you give another description at the top of it, it's more truth than the first. The first is not false, it's limited. But then you go to an airplane, 10,000 meters over the earth, and you see the whole range of mountains. Your description is much better, right? It's bigger and more true than the second, and much more than the first. The first is called Dvaita. The second is called Vishishtadvaita, and the third, the ultimate, is Advaita. That means dualism, material, spirit, God, human being. Qualified dualism is God, but I am his son. And the real truth that Swami conveys. And this, I think I said this the first day, but I will repeat it again. The real truth is one without a second. And you have to, the same way that I ask you to do this exercise in front of the mirror, I hope you remember, do you? The 4 stages? Yes, the 4? Who am I? I exist. I am aware that I exist. I want to be happy. Do you remember the 4 laws? Yes? Okay, I hope. So, the constant, out of all these talks I gave, remember these things, remember be in the company of God all the time, remember His presence all the time, okay? Read as much as you can all the time, repeat His name as much as you can. But also, remember this, what is the truth? One without a second. And think, what does it mean? What does it mean, one without a second? What does it mean? You are allowed to speak. You can speak in English. You can speak loud. No. First, good, wrong answer. She said, we are all one, and I said it's wrong. What other answer do you have? One by the time, louder. Wrong. We cannot be without thee even for a second. Very wrong. What else? What? We are God all the same. Wrong. It's only God. Yes, but what else? Yes, it is. It's only God. That's the answer. What does it imply? What that does it imply? You have to think about this. If you want to progress, the spiritual path is not something that you do methodically like a ritual. You know, you take in the United States, and I will speak out for the same organization as another religion or as a temple, where you perform your traditions or culture of India here. It is not. This is the university. This is the highest truth. One without a second. Only God exists and nothing else. There is nothing else other than God. That means you do not exist. I'm sorry to tell you. I have erased you from existence. Only God, only I, there is nothing else. There is no this mic, there is not this, whatever you call it, podium. There is no this stage, there is not these human beings, it's not real. Only God all the time and nothing else than God. Only He. We implies many. We implies one plus one plus one. Only one. That means that all this is an illusion, is an appearance, is a delusion, is a film projected in the mind of God. We have to realize that only He exists all the time, and this He is I. So remember, reflect upon this. Think, only one without a second. The only thing I'm asking you is just to think about this sentence a couple of minutes per day. I'm not telling you to meditate half an hour or 40 minutes twice a day. I have asked you to make one exercise that will take you 8 minutes or 4 minutes, and these 2 minutes of this reflection. Only one without a second. Imagine God being completely alone and suddenly He wants to experience Himself. And He created this film to entertain Himself. But this film is made with Him. It's not outside Him. There is nothing outside Him. There is no outside. God is not limited by a certain dimension. You understand? There is not outside, there is no limit, there is only He everywhere all the time. Think about that. If you do this exercise, about these 4 stages, about the company of God, and about this only He, you will see that without being aware, you are pressing the accelerator of your Formula One car faster and faster and faster. And you will start seeing the signs of his presence. He will reward you with signs that will show you, yes, I am here. Yes, I am here. Yes, I am here. Do you understand? I was going to share another story, right? I don't remember which one. Japamala. Well, this is, I was in an interview with Swami. Swami made a Japamala for a lady that was made with crystal beads, and inside the thread was metal, and the Japamala was broken. So the lady stood up in the middle of the interview and said, Swami, can you repair it? And Swami stood up from the chair and got hold of it. And it was a very long, as it was broken, one end was here and the other was on the floor, touching the floor. And Swami did like this. And the Japamala made a circle. Two things happened. The first is that the Japamala went in a kind of slow motion. And the second is that the tip of the Japamala touched the tip Swami was holding. And when it touched his finger, it was sealed, repaired. The metal was, I don't know in English how to say, melted and repaired and gave it repair to the lady. So simple, so easily. And also the Japamala he mentioned is another story, when Swami is the creator of Maya. As I said before, I always sit close to him, very close as possible. I try to go interview and sit not over his feet, but almost. That day he made a Japamala. I was, you know, his hand and myself, I heard this creak, 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 the noise of the Japamala while it was being manifested. I heard clearly the noise. He made like this. I was listening to the noise, and suddenly he turned his hand, and the Japamala was so big that it was falling on the sides. You know, his hand couldn't hold it together. And I saw it, all of it. I heard and I saw it. And when the interview was over, another devotee said, no, he had the Japamala all the time on his, lap. He saw what Swami wanted him to see, and I saw what he wanted me to see. He was all the time playing with these kind of things. I had so many incredible and sweet instances with Swami where he showed how he was having a curtain. And suddenly he let the curtain go and show his divinity. And then he put it over again and we see the Maya. I mentioned this photograph, right, yesterday. Did I? Who remembers? No one? You remember? The photograph, this very close friend of mine, he was the central coordinator with me of Latin America, the two first central coordinators. I have two stories with him. Two for the price of one. Okay? He took a photograph of Swami from very close range. He was very close physically to Swami, so Swami allowed him to go to his room. He developed the film. This was 30 years ago. He developed the film. When he saw the film a couple of days later, he showed it to Swami, the photograph. It was very strange. And Swami looked at him and he said, In my grace, I let you see the form of God, the creation of God. And he told him, don't show it to anyone. Of course, he gave me a copy. When Swami says, don't show it, the first thing we do is to show it. Because we want the people to know, to see. And I have this photograph in my house. Swami was standing in the veranda with the arms like this. He's in front. But his image is completely diluted. You see him, the orange robe, but it's like diluted. And in front of him, a ray of light emanating from him. Do you remember when he did like this with the hand? Floating in front of him were words of light, like energy, white energy floating, remain floating in front of him. It's like he did this, he created white energy that remained floating in front of him. And also spirals of lights that were emanating from him. And you know, the spirals of lights are very incredible because this creation comes out of the spiral. You know, the spiral. Actually, I could tell you, but will be too long, how is the creation of the universe by God. It's amazing. Do you want to hear? Okay. Only because you want. But first, I will tell you another story about this gentleman. Remind me about the spirals. The son of this man was also going to India with his father. And one day he took a lot of calendars. He wanted Swami to bless them, to distribute it to the friends when he goes back to Guatemala. They live in Guatemala. And he presented Swami called him for an interview. He presented the calendars to Swami. Swami, instead of blessing them, took them and threw the calendars. He had a card box near his chair where he put all the letters, right? So he put the calendars there. And this not boy that was already older, he couldn't say, Swami, they are not for you. He kept quiet. What can he say? So Swami was talking, and suddenly he looked at him. He got hold of one of the letters in that box, gave it to him, and said to him, read it. While this friend was reading, Swami was telling him all what was written in the letter. Then he took another one, the same story, another one. All what was either in Spanish or English, he could understand, the rest not. In one moment, Swami took one letter and gave it to him, and when my friend was going to open it, he said, be careful, your calendars are inside. The loose calendars that Swami had taken and threw them were already inside an envelope that he returned to him. Swami is so playful. Yes. Cuba. Okay, Cuba. One day, a stewardess, a flight attendant, came to me and said that she was flying to Cuba and she wanted to give a photograph of Swami to a Hatha yoga teacher of Cuba. And I will tell you about the gold also, remember. So I gave her a photograph of Swami. She went to Cuba, gave the photograph to this Hatha yoga teacher. A couple of days later, from this photograph, at that time no one knew anything about Swami in Cuba, from this photograph, Vibhuti started to materialize. One of the students of the Hatha yoga teacher had to go through a heart surgery the next day. So he gave a little of this Vibhuti to this student. The next day when he was taken to the surgery room, they checked him, no heart problem. They check it again, no heart problem. Finally, no need of heart operation. He was completely cured. Well, it started to spread like wildfire in Cuba. After a couple of years, there were 108 Sai groups in Cuba. No one ever went to India. 108 Sai groups all over Cuba, where it is forbidden to have Sai meetings. Already once, the leader of this Hatha yoga teacher was taken into jail because of this meeting, and the books were burned, the Sai literature. 108. Even the secret police that went to the meetings became Sai devotee. And I was told that one of Fidel Castro's son became a Sai devotee. So this is Swami. You know, we feel that we are the doers. We are only small instruments that he uses to spread his presence. In Latin America, we had so many instances where he, one day, I will continue nonstop, because these are stories that were not in my mind to share now. One day, when we all started in Argentina, the Sai movement, and I will speak about later, we went everywhere to speak about Swami. One of the first Sai devotees, an old person, decided to go to a city where he lived many years ago to share with another spiritual seeker that he has found the avatar. So he traveled 700 or 800 kilometers to that city, met that person, and told him, you know, an avatar is on earth, his name is Sai Baba, and started to speak to him, and the other person was eagerly listening, till this friend showed him a picture. When the other saw the picture, became very angry, and started shouting at him, why do you do that to me? Why are you coming here to make this joke? We are all friends, and I'm old, and you have no right to do this to me, and he became very angry. When this Sai brother was able to calm him down, he explained, why are you reacting like that? And the other person said, how can I not? The person of the photograph you are showing came yesterday to my house and had mate with me. You know, he was drinking mate, the Argentinian herbal infusion with a straw, and spent hours with him drinking mate. The next day, this person came from Buenos Aires telling him that the avatar came to Earth that was exactly the same person that was with him the day before. In Guatemala, no, El Salvador, Guatemala, there was a doctor. He finished his career and had to go to do his residency. He was sent to a hospital in the middle of the jungle. So he took his jeep, English word. He went to this hospital in the middle of the road, the jeep out of order, stopped. No cars coming. He got scared, it's going to get dark, I'm alone here. He decided to get off and walk, trying to find some village. He walk, pitch dark. There is no light on the street there, on this highway, not a highway, it's a small route, completely dark. He was alone in the middle of the jungle and started walking, no light, no flash lantern, nothing. He became scared but continued walking. Suddenly he heard noises, and there were a group of Indians, Native American Indians, not from the United States, from Guatemala, shouting with machetes, completely drunk, and screaming and holding the machetes like this, and he thought, they are going to kill me. And he said, God, please help me. At that moment, out of the blue, another jeep came, stopped by his side and told him, come in, and left. And he took him exactly not only to the town where he had to go, but to the house where he had to go, without him telling anything. When he got out of the jeep, he said, please, let me pay you. He said, no, you don't have to pay me. He insisted, no, I will not accept your money. He said, at least tell me your name. And the person said, I'm your midnight friend, because he found him at midnight. So he left. A couple of years later, the doctor went into a library, and he saw a book, and the cover of the book was his midnight friend, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Swami, things like this, I can tell you for hours. Things that happened in Latin America, where we have no country in Latin America where there is not a Sai center or Sai devotees. You name it. Haiti, well, you know Haiti, Guyana, El Salvador, Costa Rica. They opened the first center of Sai Baba 30 years ago or more. The day the center was open, at that time, a group of people that would be in my hand knew about Swami in Costa Rica. That day that the center was inaugurated, in the most important newspaper of Costa Rica appeared an article sent by a correspondent of that newspaper from Puta Party about Sai Baba. That newspaper sending a correspondent to Puta Party, the article appeared in the newspaper the day of the inauguration of the center, and when they started the first meeting, Vibhuti started to fall from the ceiling of the hall where they were holding the meeting. Things like that, I can tell you for hours. Most of the things I have already forgotten because I started to write down these experiences only a few years ago. But he is manifesting his presence all over, and he's doing everything, but we must do our part. And this is what I'm going to tell you this afternoon about public meetings. And as I said before, the two goals of us as spiritual aspirants, to work harder and more faster for our own awakening, and to help as many people as possible for their awakening. And to finish this, I have to finish, right? I want to finish with the last... Okay, so the story about the creation of the universe will be my next trip. Let's go. No, you remind me. But thank you very much. Listen, are you going to stay for the afternoon or many of you are leaving? Who is leaving? Raise your hands. Only two. Three. Okay. I want to tell you one thing and I will finish, that this is very simple. As I said the first day, you are not here by chance. This was planned much earlier of this birth of you. you know, all of you were supposed to be here, all of you were called by Swami. This meeting was planned by Swami perhaps hundreds of years ago. But this meeting is much more than all these talks. This is a spiritual meeting with a spiritual secret. It's an excuse that Swami is giving us to receive His divine grace, His divine energy. You were perfect instruments preparing all this meeting, preparing the altar, organizing every aspect, the person who is at the front, opening the gate. You know, every one of you played the role, and this is so wonderful. And you will see, you will feel how this energy that He's pouring on us will raise in us, will change our lives. The spiritual seeds He's planting in our hearts will not fail, will sprout at the right time. You will see how these divine miracles will happen in your life, and how each one of you, in one way or the other, will do something. Perhaps one of you will talk with one person, only one person, and that person will speak only with one, and the other person will speak only with one, and the last person will be a new Vivekananda. We don't know, you know, the effect of our action. The only thing we know is that we must do something. But let me tell you, you must really be happy, because the fact of you being here is a sign of a divine grace and love of Swami. So I congratulate all of you. I'm very happy of having been invited here. I'm very happy of having met all of you. And I feel an incredible love here. Jai Sairam.